The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Giordano's, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix.
A special post-draft edition of Bears All Access on this Sunday. Zach Zaidman joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer, as well as former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, for the next hour to break down what the Bears did in the 2015 NFL draft. A lot to discuss. Let's start with the top three players, because initially, guys, those three players are going to be asked to do a little bit more than the players that were picked later on in the NFL draft. And I'm talking specifically about the first round pick, seventh overall, Kevin White, the wide receiver out of West Virginia, the second round pick, the big guy, the nose tackle, Eddie Goldman out of Florida State, and the center out of Oregon that was picked in round three, Haronis Grassou. Tom, overall, what do you think about what the Bears did?
You know, I think each one of them bring a special talent. You know, they have to fill the void of Brandon Marshall, and they needed size and speed and the ability to get over the top of defensive backs in this offense. I think they filled that void with Kevin White. Then you need the combination of a defensive lineman that's going to fit this system. You have to have versatility. You got to be able to move up and down the line of scrimmage at the linebacker's call, and you have to be an effective nose tackle that can take on two blockers, or you have to have the ability to beat a single block and get pressure upfield and get the quarterback off of his spot. And then at the center position, they brought in Will Montgomery. He's got a lot of experience. He knows what he's doing. He can put this system in the head of a new center quickly. And maybe the center can attach himself to guard, but when you need him to play center, he played at a fast-paced offense in college, is extremely accurate with a shotgun snap, and he has a fast-paced understanding of how assignments change in the line of scrimmage according to their offense, and hopefully that intelligence he can bring to the NFL.
Jim, what stands out to you considering all the work that you did leading up to this draft?
Well, I think, you know, they're targeting areas of need, and I think they get, you know, three of the players that are rated at the top of those positions. You know, going in, we had, you know, Danny Shelton, say, the big D tackle from Washington going to the Bears. So, fine, it's not Danny Shelton, because they go with that talent that Tom's talking about with speed at the wide receiver position and a player who's rated higher than nose tackle, but they come back in the second round and get probably one of the best defensive tackles in the league that filled that need with Eddie Goldman. I mean, he was one of many Florida State Seminoles selected, and there's a reason why. I mean, that is a very talented football team that Jimbo Fisher has put together, and I think Eddie Goldman was a big part of it in terms of how he stuffs the run as a plugger. We've been talking 3-4 defense of Vic Fangio, and I think it makes perfect sense when you look at Eddie Goldman. Haronis Grassou, can't echo enough what Tom said. I actually talked to Kyle Long a few weeks ago. He was just listening to the show on Sirius XM and decided to call in. And he couldn't rave enough about Haronis Grassou. Just his toughness, all those type of things. Plus, it's really a zone blocking scheme out there at Oregon. And I think that'll fit well with what Adam Gase is trying to do. Normally with zone blocking schemes is you want centers who can move. You want offensive linemen that can move. And when you look at Haronis, he's one of the more athletic centers, if not the best athletic center in the 2015 NFL draft. So he can move. He's a smart kid. He can bulk up a little bit. He's hovering right around 300. But the best probably picture or example of a center that could do that is a former Bear. So I'll just throw out a name for the listeners out there. Think of Casey Wigman, a 16-year player in the National Football League. Yeah, he didn't beat out Olin Krutz, but he moved on and was very instrumental in the zone blocking scheme down there in Kansas City when you think of Priest Holmes and all those linemen or running backs that were putting up big numbers.
You know, I think the combination of the first draft picks outside of Kevin White,
when we talk
I think there's a combination of their versatility. And when you look at an offensive lineman nowadays, even though you're drafted and you played center in college, you have to be multidimensional. You got to be able to move to each side. So depending upon how many offensive linemen they want to keep active on game day, if you're an inside player and you can play center and both offensive guards, that gives a lot of ability for the offensive line to make some quality judgment on game day personnel.
And the other thing that I heard from Hall of Fame journalist Dan Pompey, which I think really sticks with everything that transpired last season with the Bears and kind of the fresh start that they're looking for in every aspect of the organization, he said that this Bears locker room needs more players with the kind of character of Hronis Grassou, guys that you can count on when times are tough. You can say the same thing about Kevin White. The great thing that I heard about him is the fact that, you know, Jim, and this is a big thing for a football player, is that the coaches had to scale things back for him in terms of his workouts because he was in the gym more than they would have liked because he was wearing himself out because he wants to be great. That's what you want to hear when it comes to a football player.
Yeah, you want him to live in the building. I've had some interesting conversations with Kevin White, the Bears' first-round pick. He has taken a different path to the NFL than a lot of wide receivers out there, and I think everybody probably knows right now he's a JUCO transfer. When I talked to him, he was upset. He only had one offer coming out of high school. He wasn't really, you know, highly thought of or anything like that. So he's had to work for everything he's gotten, and he understands that. He knows he's going to get out the results that he wants with what he puts in, and he works extremely hard. He's not some one-year wonder at West Virginia because this guy's just been pounding away over the past couple years to really, you know, rise to prominence, to put himself in position to get drafted in the NFL, which is a goal of his. And I had an interesting story because I was down at the Palmer House where a lot of the draft picks were staying with their family members. And so I get on the elevator, and it's Kevin White's father is in there. I said, oh, you know, you here at the draft, I said, who's your son? And he said, Kevin White. And for the listeners out there, there's another Kevin White from TCU, a cornerback. And I said, oh, the cornerback from TCU. And his dad, if you could have seen his face. I said, hey, I'm just kidding you. I know who your son is. He's a very talented player, and you should be very proud. And we had a really good conversation about his son and just how proud he is of his son. And their whole family is proud of him, and they should be, because this kid works his fanny off, and he's going to be a great Bear that Bears fans are going to be proud of.
One thing that impressed me after meeting Kevin White the other day at the draft party downtown was I asked him, when did you know that you were going to become an NFL player? And he said, the sixth game this year. And it amazes me that, you know, I had belief that by my junior year in high school that if everything stayed on course and I stayed healthy, I was going to make it to the NFL, just a dumb determination. But I'm impressed by Kevin White that he didn't think so highly of himself, that he knew that his path was already paved, that he was still earning his stripes all the way up into this season.
He talked about it. He's had to earn everything because nothing's ever been handed to him. Everyone's kind of overlooked him. He was a late bloomer. He had to send out more than 250 emails to Division I coaches just to let them know, hey, I exist. Please take me. And West Virginia finally did, and he had that one terrific season last year. If there is a knock, and Jim, you as an offensive guy, when you look at this, you know, if there is a knock, people say, well, you know, he doesn't have a lot when it comes to the route tree. He was only on the right side.
Right.
And only has that one big season at West Virginia under his belt. What do you see when you watch the film on this guy?
I think he can do it all. I think the sky's the limit for him. You know, he's got incredible speed, which, you know, you can't coach that. You just can't. He's that physically gifted, and he's, you know, he's in terms of athleticism, he's the number one receiver. He's better than Amari Cooper when it comes to athleticism and playmaking ability. Granted, Amari Cooper is probably the more polished receiver with what the style of offense that he ran at Alabama, but I think Kevin White has higher upside. And what I thought was interesting too, when I sat down and had an opportunity to talk to Kevin White, any team that worked him out, he knew that that was his knock. You know, everybody's got criticisms. Oh, he's not a polished route runner because of the spread offensive attack that they use at West Virginia. So any team that came in there to work him out, he said, you put me through whatever workout you want, because I want to remove all doubt that I can't run routes. You put me in the slot. You put me at Z, you put me at X. By the time you leave this building, I will answer every question that you have for me in terms of my route running ability. That's the type of guy this kid is. He wants to remove all doubt to make sure his game's got no holes, and he certainly did it throughout this whole process.
He gives the Bears a legitimate speed threat that they haven't had at the receiver position since Johnny Knox was forced to retire, but he does it in the type of body that, say, Alshon Jeffrey has.
You know, one thing that Kevin did say is he intimidates defensive backs by his ability and desire to block. And that's a key ingredient, because if you're so caught up in a guy's speed, you're always fragile on your feet because you don't know how quickly he can take off. But if you're fragile on your feet as a defensive back and now you got a wide receiver who's willing to block, you talk about that 5-yard run going to 15 or that pass to the outside to Alshon Jeffrey going for a big play, because you have to have the willingness to block in this system.
And a lot of people are wondering, what's the future of Martellus Bennett with the Bears now with all these different rumors coming up? We know that Martellus Bennett is not happy with his current deal, and there's the potential that he could be traded away. So the Bears now have three legitimate receivers. They didn't have that during the Tressman era. You know, it was just Marshall and Jeffrey. Now they have Jeffrey, Kevin White comes into the picture, and the veteran Eddie Royal is another guy that you can throw out there. You're going to see a lot of three receiver sets.
You know, still, you know, they got Marquise Wilson listed as 6'4 on the sheet on the roster from minicamp this past week. If he is 6'4 and they have this Kevin White's height and they have Alshon's height and they have the instincts of Eddie Royal on the inside, you are talking about a little bit of, you know, more fluid movement to your receivers than a year ago.
And you can spread out defenses and run out of that.
Right.
If the Bears offensive line can stay healthy, because we know they can run block.
And
Jim. I'm sorry, Tom. Guys, we've talked about this so many times, and even under Mark Trestman and Aaron Cromer, they were trying to build out that three wide receiver package. And, you know, and then you have the unfortunate, you know, broken collarbone by Marquise Wilson. And then it was just a revolving door, whether it's Holmes or whatever receiver they tried to throw in there. Now they have a legitimate trio with a fourth in Marquise Wilson. Because when you look at Jeffrey, you're going to put Royal in the slot. I would assume when you look at Kevin White, he'll be the X. But now if a guy gets nicked up, now to me, Marquise Wilson would be that guy who's the fourth receiver who can step in and you don't miss a beat. Three wides is the number one personnel grouping utilized by teams in the National Football League, and now the Bears legitimately have a three wide receiver package that they can present to attack defenses.
That's Jim Miller. Tom Thayer is here as well. Zach Zaidman with you. Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Let's flip it around. Round two, the Bears take very talented nose tackle out of Florida State by the name of Eddie Goldman. When you watch him, Tom, from a lineman perspective on the other side, when you watch the tape on Eddie Goldman, what sticks out to you?
Base strength at the line of scrimmage. And what I mean by that is when the ball is snapped by the offensive lineman and they're going to try to engage their hands on the inside of a defensive lineman, he has the ability and the unique instincts to jam his hands on the inside and bench press the offensive lineman. Now you got a setup and a stalemate, and he's able to disengage and still get in the way of a ball carrier or still bring his feet forward to get pressure on the quarterback. But the key, like I said, the key ingredient here is you got to be able to slide to your right and slide to your left as a defensive lineman. And there's a little bit different than your balances and the small details of playing against a right guard as opposed to a left guard, depending upon what handed stance they're in. But it is the key ingredient is when you want to go big on first down in a 34 defense, and if you want to slide that front a little bit, he's a big guy that's going from being blocked on the center, who's got to snap the ball first, now to the outside shoulder and offensive guard if he can move with strength to get in the way of him. It's just his multi-dimensions that can contribute to the rest of the front, the defensive players up front.
And the thing that stands out to me, Jim, in listening to him talk, one of the knocks that some of the scouts believe in regards to Eddie Goldman is, yeah, he's a space eater, but he doesn't attack up the field and pressure the quarterback. And he heard this and he was not happy about it. He said that, you know, once you see him on the field, you'll see that he feels as a nose tackle, he can attack the quarterback as well as anybody. I like to hear that out of a player.
Yeah, I think it's similar to Kevin White about wanting to answer questions about his route running ability. And Eddie Goldman comes with a chip on his shoulder saying, hey, I can pass rush. And the Bears are going to find that out. You know, as Tom mentioned, the guy's thick. He's big. He's going to be tough for double teams to beat him in the National Football League when you look at offensive linemen. Now, I think the key is if he wants to answer those questions, say if in any sub-package through training camp or in the OTAs where the Bears throw him in there, he's going to have to flash. He's going to have to flash in sub-packages to say, hey, I am quick off the snap. I've got more pass rush moves, and I'm going to prove it to you in terms of whether it's a swim or a rip technique that he can prove to the coaches that he can get to the quarterback. It's not like he didn't have sacks last year, because Eddie Goldman, in terms of tackles for loss, he had 8 tackles behind the line of scrimmage for losses, and 4 of them were sacks. So he did show that ability a little bit, not huge numbers, but when you're getting 4, anywhere from 4 to 8 sacks, I would think, in college football as a defensive tackle, it shows that you've got the ability to do it. Now, can he do it more consistently and get better at it? And I'm sure the coaches want to find that out in sub-packages.
Joining us now as we flip around to the other side of the ball is the Bears' first-round pick, 7th overall, the wide receiver out of West Virginia. Kevin White joins us here on Bears All Access. Zach Zabin, Tom Thayer, and Jim Miller with you. Kevin, you've done so many interviews over the last 4 days after being drafted by the Bears. What's the most annoying question that you've gotten over these last few days since the Bears picked you?
None of them is really annoying. It's just the same questions all over again. So I just feel like I'm repeating myself. I get tired of doing that a little bit, but it's all right.
Hey, Kevin, Mike Groe, when he worked you out in your pro day, he's got a lot of unique drills that he comes out here with his wide receivers every day in training camp. Did he run you through anything that, you know, was different than you've seen before? And then when you got to know his personality there, knowing that he was going to be your position coach, how did all that transition go for you?
From what I can recall, he didn't worked me out at my pro day. It was a guy from the Broncos that worked me out. It was their receivers coach, I believe. It wasn't Mike Groh. So I'm not sure why people think that or if I'm wrong, but I believe it was a receivers coach from the Broncos. And my receivers coach at West Virginia had a lot to do with it. He was basically running it. So it was no really hard connection there.
Well, Kevin, let me ask you this question, because I interviewed you at the NFL Play 60 event, then I interviewed you right after you were drafted by the Chicago Bears. Have you wiped that big smile off your face yet? Has it sunk into
you
that you were drafted?
Oh, man. I smile from ear to ear every day, every minute. You know me. I'm still smiling.
Well, you should be. And let me ask you this, because we talked about your path to the NFL and how you wanted to remove all doubt. You know, what makes Bears fans, I'm sure Bears fans, that you're not a type of guy that's going to be complacent. You want to have greatness every single day that you step on the football field. I think that's been your approach to get you where you're at right now. Tell Bears fans how that's going to continue once you arrive in the building.
That's definitely going to continue. I've been wanting this all my life. I'm not addicted to the money where, I need the money or I'll sit out if I don't have a contract. I'm not doing that. I'm here to play football, so I'm here to win games, and I'm a competitor. I love to compete. So when it comes to getting complacent, that's not in my character to do. So I'm definitely going to work hard every day, and I do my best so I can help this organization win some games.
You know, Kev, when you talk about the lead-up to the draft, you talk about all the pressure that's on you because you don't know where you're going to be drafted. But we talked about it the other night, because it seems like after you get drafted the 7th pick in the NFL draft, to me the pressure starts then, because now we know what's expected of you, not only greatness with the Chicago Bears, but as a number one round draft choice, you have to come in here as a position leader. And do you feel there's relief of the draft, but now the pressure of the actual reality of the Bears comes into place?
Pressure's on, but the pressure's been on my whole life, you know, having this try to get offers my senior year at Emmaus, and then not playing for 2 years, competing for two seasons at Lackawanna, and then had to get the job done in 1 year at junior college, and then my junior year at West Virginia, that was very low with the different situations I was in, and then had to get the job done again my senior year. So the pressure been on my whole life. I'm just playing football. I'm always going to feel pressure. So that's just something that comes with the game, and that's what I'm ready for.
Visiting with Bears top pick Kevin White here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Kevin, take us through that first meeting after you got drafted. You go to Halas Hall the next day, and the quarterback of the Bears, Jay Cutler, is there. And the brief conversation you guys had, and then what restaurant did he arrange reservations for you and the family, and did he make a good choice?
What was the place called? Chicago Cut Steakhouse, I think.
Yep.
And we weren't able to go. It was me, my mom, and dad. And we weren't able to go because we was doing a whole bunch of interviews. And after we got done, I had a whole bunch of family there. And this got tied up, so we weren't able to go. I'm still looking forward to going. But the conversation that me and Tim Keller had was just, you know, and how I'm not too far off with the playbook that they just installed it in 2 weeks, and they've been going over the same thing. So when I get in there, it's going to be easy to pick up, and he'll help me doing that, and we'll put in some extra work and do whatever we have to do to get that connection going.
Well, you're going to be getting to work here pretty quickly. Let me ask you in terms of pressure, because you got to get the pressure to get the right number. You got to have the right number when you're out there performing. What number will you be donning for, as a Chicago Bear, when you step on the field?
That's still a question. Not sure yet. It'll be either 11 or 13. We're still trying to figure that out. Whatever number that is, whether it's 13 or 11, I'm trying to do my best and produce on the field, whether I have 11 or 13. So I guess we'll see in the next few days.
Hey, Kev, have you seen the playbook yet, and the size of it? And, you know, I know a lot of it's on the iPad and everything right now. And did you have an actual playbook that you carried around in college, or were you similar to the system that you'll see in the NFL?
Yeah, we never carried a playbook around in college. Everything was signals, so there was no playbook in college. So whatever I have to do in the NFL to get the playbook down, whether it's watching it on my iPad or going in the film room and, you know, drawing up on the board every day, that's what I guess I have to do.
Kevin, really appreciate the time. Congratulations on becoming a Bear. Get some rest. Friday, going to be a big day around Hallis Hall for you and the rest of the rookies.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks for having me. Bear down.
Bear down.
See, he knows.
Good luck to you, Kevin.
He knows. And by the way, something to keep in mind. Right now, the number that he wore in college, number 11, is being worn by Joshua Bellamy, the Bears special teamer and receiver. Eddie Royal wore number 11 when he was in San Diego. So there are a lot of people that want that number. If I'm Joshua Bellamy, there's an opportunity to perhaps
cash in
on
that
number.
The other day when we were doing the thing at the Bears Draft Center Saturday night, he took the roster from minicamp and he looked up to see who was wearing what number just to get a clear head about it all.
Let's take a break. When we come back, let's break down what happened yesterday for the Bears in the draft. They got a running back, they got a safety, and they got a big lineman. And when I say big, I mean big. We'll discuss next. Tom Thayer's along. So's Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabin. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago, or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zabin. Let's discuss what happened yesterday in regards to the Bears draft. They go out in round 4 and draft a very productive running back from Michigan State. We got to talk to Jim about this because no one knows him better, and that would be Jeremy Langford. But he's more than just a running back, and that was pointed out by both Ryan Pace and John Fox in regards to how they view this guy going forward. What did you see when you watched this guy every Saturday playing football for the Spartans, Jim?
Well, one, he's a great athlete. He went to Michigan State. He didn't go there as a running back. They put him, you know, they started him out at corner because they had a need at corner. He did that fabulously. And then there was some receivers went down, so they threw him at receiver to give him depth there at that position. He was great at that position as well. And then when Le'Veon Bell got drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers, there was a huge void because a couple of freshman running backs had arrived at Michigan State just weren't ready to play. So they threw him in the backfield, and this kid's just exploded onto the scene the past couple years. He's as tough as nails. He's got 40 touchdowns over the past couple seasons, over 1,400 yards the past 2 years as well. And this guy's a fantastic pass receiver. He can catch the football out of the backfield. So he's a three-down back. He can block like the Dickens because he's a tough guy on third downs, and he's always fallen forward. His leg drive is tremendous. So he's a great athlete, pure football player, and, man, I really like that selection for the Chicago Bears.
You know, one of the uncertainties about running backs, How do you pass block? He's a willing chipper, and he squares up the blitzers. That's two of the things they say about him. And those are two of the biggest question marks with any running back coming into the into professional football. And one thing I like about Langford is you're always practicing against big, tough defenses at Michigan State. It's a kind of a defensive-driven team, would you say that, Jim? And when you are a good player all, you know, through the ranks at Michigan State, you're always facing some top defensive talent on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, and you bring up good points because he's well-schooled at picking up the blitz because it is a defensive team that blitzes a lot. A lot of cross-dog blitzes on the inside, you know, a lot of safety, strong safety Sam blitzes to the strong or weak safety Will to the weak side. So he's very accustomed, like through the practices, whether it's spring ball and training camp, that he's done that before. Takes extreme pride in what he's doing. And, you know, and I'll say this, he comes from a good family. Again, there are no character issues with Jeremy Langford. This kid's all football, and he works his fanny off, much like all the Bears draft picks that they selected.
Yeah, Ryan Pace said that was a point of emphasis, is to bring in good character guys that you knew you could trust at least to work on the football without having to deal with all the garbage that some of the teams have to deal with
right. Because
of guys and their off-the-field issues. What stands out to me about Jeremy Langford is he was thrown for a loop, he said, when the Bears picked him, because other than the regular stuff at the Combine and the Senior Bowl, they didn't invite him for a workout. They didn't have any extra interviews with him, but they knew all about him, Jim, because the new running backs coach, Stan Drayton, comes from Ohio State. In the conference, he knew everything there was to know about Jeremy Langford.
Hey, Jeremy Langford down at the Senior Bowl, he had to bow out because he had a little foot injury that kept him out of the game. He was the best running back all week by far. By far, he was the best running back. I know that for a fact because Phil Savage, the executive director of the Senior Bowl, I did a show with him yesterday, and all the coaches, whether it's the feedback from the Jacksonville Jaguars staff or the Tennessee Titans staff, plus when you go and put on the tape of all the week's practices, Jeremy Langford just kept on flashing all week long because he wanted to prove a point. You know, unfortunately, he had the setback where he couldn't play in the game. But this guy's no mystery to other NFL teams. I knew three or four other teams that really wanted to draft Jeremy Langford, and the Bears are lucky to get him and glad they selected him there in the fourth round.
And when you are a Saturday pick in the NFL draft, you better be a good special teams player. His defensive background proves that he's not afraid of contact. He can tackle,
yep.
And that'll help him in the third phase.
Oh, no.
Absolutely.
You have to be a contributor as a rookie. And, you know, we've seen that before in our lifetime here at the Bears. I remember Neil Anderson, the best special team player of any first-round running back I've ever seen. So you talk about character issues. Character gets you drafted because they know that you're going to contribute in more than one area of your responsibility.
One of those guys, Adrian Amos, the fifth-round pick, a safety out of Penn State. But, guys, he wasn't initially a safety. He was a cornerback when he arrived on campus at Penn State and moved to safety because of the sanctions that Penn State had to deal with a few years back. They were left without personnel, and they needed someone to move up and play the middle. And John Fox was talking about a 3-4 defense when you want to create those mismatches and have a quarterback thinking it's nice to have a safety who can also play corner.
And tight end, slot receiver, have all the responsibilities that you need to offset other design of your defense. So it's nice you have a guy that's multi-talented because that's when you can really expand the volume of blitz details that you can have. If you trust a guy in the back end, whether he's young or gains some experience eventually, this is what you need to have. But with Amos, you also have a high character guy, another guy that his background checks out where you know what you're going to get from him on a daily basis, and that's the key to the growth of the team of the future.
And early on in his Penn State career, Jim, he was a special team standout, so another guy who can contribute in that phase. And we're short on time. We got to hit the break. But before we do, let's talk about the massive man that the Bears picked in round number 6, Tayo Faboluje, an unbelievable backstory on this guy. The fact that he put himself in a position, Jim, to get drafted with everything that happened in his private life is amazing to me.
Well, it really is. And, you know, obviously the discipline and those things. And normally when you're drafting guys in the later rounds, you have to have a unique trait. And obviously for him, his trait is his size. I think he's got a lot of work ahead of him with what you said in his exposure to football. There's a lot of things he's got to work on, but he certainly has the size and the frame to get better in the NFL. You know, I think he's going to have to probably be a practice squad guy. We'll see where it goes, though, because he's got a lot of development that he needs to do to be a consistent football player. But in terms of his size, his strength, all those type of things, I mean, that's why you draft guys like this and try to develop them. Think about this. Think of a guy like Big Cat Williams, who was a D lineman in college at Cheney State, and he converted to offensive line. The Bears developed him, and I think Teo is going to need that development. But, man, he could be a good one if he really gets all the techniques down as an offensive lineman.
You look at him in college with that 59 on, and you go, wow, this guy's not a center. And he makes the number 59 look really small. And like you say, you can never teach size. That's the unique thing about it. And these guys can change so much when they have the consistency of a great diet, the consistency of a quality weight room, the consistency of a really quality offensive line head coach that's going to take an interest in you with quality teammates like Jermon Bushrod. This is what you need to cultivate talent. When you start putting these guys in a setting that is really beneficial and nurturing to these guys, that's when you could see 6'7", 360 turn into 6'7", 340, and then also now you see the real athlete that Teo can become.
Born in Nigeria, moved to the United States at a very young age. His father was deported at the age of, when Teo was five, his father was deported to Nigeria. His mother eventually was arrested, and she's still in jail, so he had to take care of his sister without much family around, and yet still found a way to be disciplined enough both in the classroom and in regards to his football to get drafted. So a terrific story by Teo Fabaluje, the Bears' sixth-round pick. When we come back, ask Tom your chance to ask all the questions that you have from the last few days in regards to football for our 85 Bear, Tom Thayer, here on Bears All Access. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. The best caller of the next segment wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Jim Miller, right here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Super Bear Shuffle 5K run takes place on Thursday, September 10th at Soldier Field. Learn more and register today at ChicagoBears.com/5K. Alongside Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabin. Jim Miller is along as well here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. It's time for our highest-rated segment of the show. We call it Ask Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. It's real simple. It's your opportunity to talk football with 85 Bear Tom Thayer. All you have to do is call up the number, 312-644-6767. Anything in the world of football is fair game for Tom. And at the end of the segment, Jim picks the best caller of that segment, and that caller gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. You guys ready for this?
Always.
Yeah,
ready.
Let's do it.
All right, let's rock and roll. We'll begin the festivities in Sheboygan with Conrad. You are on Bears All Access. Ask Tom.
Hey, Conrad.
Hey there, Tom. I got a question about the Bears linebackers, how John Bostic and Christian Jones fit into Vic Fangio's 3-4 defense, as well as Sam Acho and Mason Foster.
You know, they all fit. It's about production. Unfortunately, in the 3 days of the minicamp, Jonathan Bostic didn't practice, so he had some type of issue, and he's probably the most guy I was interested to see. Because if I saw anybody that had the willingness to hit somebody at the end of running after him, it was John Bostic. But I needed to see the classroom work inside the learning curve that they're going through. And I saw Christian Jones line up as one of the inside linebackers. But, you know, after you see the system introduced to these guys in the classroom, then on the field for a couple days, you hear a lot of silence. And I don't know if that's right, because you hear so much coaching done on the defensive side that you have all these players paying attention because they're all so unfamiliar with it. So I think that they got the guys in the place where they want to see him try out, but I think there's a lot of changes and switches and moves that will go along when they learn more about these places, the players, how they bring it from the weight room to the classroom to the field.
312-644-6767 is the phone number here on the Ask Tom segment. Jim Miller judges. You ask the questions for Tom Thayer. Anything in the world of football is fair game. At the end of the segment, Jim picks the best caller, and that caller gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. So again, 312-644-6767. I want to piggyback on something you said, because, you know, the Bears did draft Eddie Goldman out of Florida State to play in Vic Fangio's 3-4 defense in the middle. Christian Jones was a teammate of Eddie Goldman's at Florida State. At times they ran a 4-3. Other times they ran a 3-4. Where do you see him within the framework of this defense?
What is your ability? If you have the ability and the strength to play on the inside, how do you shed blocks? How do you keep your head up, be able to disengage from centers to offensive guards to tackles to tight ends to H-backs to fullbacks? And that's what it's going to be about. You're not necessarily always going to be put into the movement aspect of the defense. Sometimes you're going to have to take on blockers and show the interior instincts of the linebackers we've seen play in this defense before. But, you know, repetitiously over the last couple of years, these guys, that's not what they've been repped at. They've been repped at having defensive linemen in front of them that take on more blockers and give them the opportunity to slide around inside that defense.
Yeah, if there is an area of concern that you look at just after free agency in the draft, you know, it is the linebacker position, because Lamar Houston's coming off a serious ACL. He's a linebacker in this scheme. You don't know if Jared Allen can play this position the way it needs to be played. Willie Young is coming off an Achilles injury. You know, Shea McClellan, they're still trying to figure out what he is. They did bring in Mason Foster. They brought in Sam Ocho. You talked about what Christian Jones is, but there are a lot of questions.
Well, you know, they got guys like Austin Lane standing up as an outside linebacker, and this guy's a big guy. You know, he's 6'6", 6'7", and then you see Jared Allen standing up. He looks so much different than we've all known of Jared Allen the last 15 years in the NFL. So, you know, you get an indication of seeing these guys in shorts, in T-shirts, but you don't get an indication until you put shoulder pads, helmet, pads in their pants, and then see how they move when they're having a route run against them.
Sorry, I had so many questions here. I wanted to ask Tom some things here. 312-644-6767. A gift certificate to Sports Authority is on the line. Toby in St. Anne, you are on Bears All Access. Ask Tom.
Hey, Toby.
Yeah, guys, thanks for taking my call. I'm also impressed with the draft, but in watching the Bears play last year, what I still have as a huge question is how are they going to stop the other team from scoring? I mean, who's going to be playing defense, and how are they going to play better than they did last year? I don't see where that draft helped them much at all, except for that number two guy. I mean, I'm sure he's going to be starting. But other than that, how are they going to stop the other team from scoring?
Well, you know, it is going to take a multiple design of the fronts. I mean, you try to take advantage of a perceived weakness against your opponent, and not everybody's going to show up weak like they will when they do have Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, he has greatness behind him, and it's already proved. But I think when teams start preparing against the Chicago Bears defense, because they don't know a lot about it, you're going to be able to develop against their perceived weakness in what you see on film. But, yeah, the talent has to get upgraded. There's no doubt about it. You got to get better at the safety position. You have to get the alternate corner away from Kyle Fuller better. They had Lewis Jean working over there, you know, that throughout the minicamp and stuff. But it is going to take making sure that you have a solid defense from your inside linebackers to your safety positions with the difficulty, the division, the good quarterbacks you have, and, you know, you have to experiment with this talent.
There are a lot of different things you can say in regards to answering that question. The Bears have allowed nearly 30 points per game over the last 2 years, and they've given up 137 rushing yards per game on the ground over the last 2 years. First off, stop the run so you don't give teams the opportunity to keep your offense off the field and control the game.
Yeah, you know, you got to stop the run, but your offense also has to assist you with points. If you're never playing on the lead and you never have the opportunity to give your defense a chance to be the aggressors, you are going to be on your heels. You're going to be catching at the line of scrimmage, hoping to limit the run effectiveness of your opponent.
312-644-6767, the phone number here on Ask Tom. A gift certificate to Sports Authority is on the line. Chris in Algonquin, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Tom. I got a question for you. Earlier you talked about inside linebackers having to shed blocks, and I'm curious, is shedding blocks more of a strength issue or is it more of a technique issue?
That's a great question. I think it's a little bit of both. You have to have the proper technique in order to get the position. You got to gain the right position on whoever's trying to get to that second level and block you. If you can gain winning position, you're always going to put the offensive player behind. But if you think you're just going to rely on strength, there's offensive players that have such good technique that they can out fundamental just a strength player. So yeah, you have to be strong enough to play in the NFL because that give you the durability to be out there week in and week out. But when it comes down to shedding offensive linemen and fullbacks and stuff. It's about the exact technique that you need to try to earn the right position before they ever get to you.
Orland Park, Michael, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys, great show. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Tom, question I have for you is, you know, every year I get really excited about the draft, and I was even excited about the draft when we drafted Curtis Enos, right? Thinking he's going to be really productive and add a lot of value. You know, so it's hard to get really motivated for the draft, in my opinion, because you really don't know what you have in for a couple of years. But who do you see that they draft that you think can add value right away next year, given our current needs, our current position that we need?
You know, Kevin White, obviously, he's got to come in and fill a void. I don't think you have the luxury these days of being an unproductive first rounder. And with Brandon Marshall being gone, you have to be able to insert him, and he's got to be effective. And that's both blocking to help the running game and catching passes either over the middle or big passes over the top. And, you know, I expect Eddie Goldman to come in here and contribute on this defense, because the players that they have drafted up until this point have the architect of a four-man defensive line. Now they start investigating players that have specific roles in the defense they want to play and be most effective at. When you talk about Eddie Goldman in his size, not only to play over the center, but he has the ability to play up and down the line of scrimmage on first and second down, to put him in those pass rushing scenarios. Those two guys, they have to contribute on a regular basis. But when you look at Amos and Langford, here's a couple of guys that have to earn their way onto the field, but they got to be big time contributors on special teams. They got to play on that fourth phase, and they got to be a part of the third phase and be a part of every one of the special teams. They don't have the luxury of just being a tackler or a blocker. They have to have the talent to do it all.
Couple more contestants here on Ask Tom. A gift certificate to Sports Authority on the line. We go to Forest Park. Tom, you are on the Score. Ask Tom.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. What an honor. What an honor. You know, it's my question is, do you think Jared Allen will have a revitalization with our new Florida State Seminole in that middle blocking, holding up that, plugging up the middle for him?
You know, Jared's going to have to be able to retreat off the line of scrimmage effectively if he does have an accountability in the pass coverages. But one of the key ingredients for Coach Fangio is he has the ability to put players on the field and then stem them into a defense that you put Jared at the advantage, to make sure he's in the best position against their weakest blocker. In one of the small snippets that we had a chance to look at this weekend in the minicamp was their ability to take personnel and try to put him in the best position that they're most confident in. And that's going to be a key, and sometimes psychologically that works against the offensive player because they know they have somebody that can pass rush well, even though they're not the best of blockers.
Final contestant on Ask Tom, Craig in Wisconsin. You're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Craig.
Hi, it's Corey, actually.
Hey, Corey. How you doing?
Hey, good, thanks. Hey, I love the show. I had a question for Tom about the Bears' third-round pick out of Oregon, the center they took. I don't know how to say his name.
Grasso?
Yes, thank you. I'd read an article by Hub Arkish, and he had some concerns about Rasu's ability to win the hand battles at the line in particular. I want to know if you share those concerns, Tom, and if so, what can he do to better develop himself and then maybe win those hand battles at some point at the center?
You know, when you come in here as a young offensive lineman, everything is going to be so much faster and so much stronger and so much quicker that it's just going to be part of your development as a football player, that you go from college to pro, because no one is ever going to come into the league strong enough, fast enough, and big enough after their college career. And it's something you grow into, and you have the experience to watch the subtleties of the technique of Will Montgomery, who is a center that has a lot of experience, and you have to start taking advantage of those types of things. But I think, you know, you're going to be faster the better you know the system. And you may seem like you're an eighth of a second slow, but once you start understanding the terminology at the same pace as everybody else, that's when you start picking up the speed. So, yeah, he may be a half second slow, but the more intelligent to the system he becomes, you're going to see him pick up speed, but you're also going to see him pick up size and strength when he gets involved in the weight room and the eating program.
All right, good stuff. Time to pick a winner. Jim, who gets the gift certificate?
Yeah, all great questions tonight, but I'm going to go with our second caller, Toby, in St. Ann, because he asked about the scheme difference and how this year the Bears are going to stop teams from scoring. And that's what I'd say. Tom talked about Vic Fangio, that these guys are going to play the 3-4 scheme. But if everybody remembers, all the players last year in Mel Tucker's scheme, they kept on talking about all the freedom that they had. Well, I don't like young players having a lot of freedom. Young linebackers, young defensive linemen like Ego or Will Sutton, freedom like that leads to mistakes. Vic Fangio will give these guys an assignment, and these young players that are going to play for the Bears are going to have an assignment to execute. Not a lot of freedom, which is a good thing.
Congratulations to Toby from St. Anne, who wins the gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Jim Miller. You know, Jim mentioned the name Ego Ferguson, some of the young guys. Seemed as though the Bears drafted the same positions this year that they drafted last year. So what does that mean for some of the players from last year? How do they fit in to this new team? We'll discuss next on Bears All Access with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access continues on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I am Zach Zaidman. Happy to have you with us. Special Sunday edition, post-draft. And one of the interesting things about this draft, and Ryan Pace yesterday said that it wasn't as though the Bears were paying attention to what happened in last year's draft, but, you know, you start to take a look. Last year, they picked a run stuffer in Ego Ferguson. This year, they did it again with Eddie Goldman. You know, last year, they went out. They picked a running back in Kadeem Carey. They do it again with Jeremy Langford. This season, you know, they went and got a safety in Brock Vereen last year. They got another one in Adrian Amos this season. They got a tackle in Charles Leno late in the draft. They do so as well this time around with Fabo Lugier. So when you look at last year's players and what the Bears have just brought in, there's some interesting questions as to what the future is with some of these guys. Tom, when you look at specifically Ego Ferguson and Will Sutton, the defensive lineman the Bears picked last season, what are their roles this year?
You know, they're going to have to create their role. They're going to have to show that they have the ability to either play over the center or slide to one of the offensive guards when that's what it calls for. But then they have to show that they have the athleticism to play all the way out at the defensive end position in a 34 defense, which there's a lot of requirements when you have this significant amount of space that you have to hold up against, not getting pushed off or not getting hooked so they can run a sweep outside you, these different types of job details. But it's going to be the same challenge to Jared Allen, Austin Lane, and Cornelius Washington, and all these other guys that have to stand up and have responsibilities to the outside. Whether you're an old dog or a new dog, once you start bringing in new assignments that you have to show that you can accomplish those assignments, that's when the evaluation process, you know, you're going through. But it really won't come into effect really until it's full pads, because this is just to see how you can formulate a plan after the classroom portion of it.
Hey, Jim, when Adam Gase was hired, we didn't know what the Bears would be running from an offensive standpoint. Now that you see some of the personnel they brought in, both via free agency and with the draft, and knowing Adam Gase from what he was able to do in Denver, do you have a better idea of what the Bears offense is going to look like in 2015?
Yeah, I think they're going to run the football. I think we've been saying it consistently. I think that's John Fox by nature. He's a conservative coach. You know, not that they won't chuck it all over the lot, because he gained confidence that Peyton Manning could do it. But I think his formula is going to be, we're going to play great defense. We're going to run the football. We're not going to turn it over. And we're going to win a hell of a lot of games. I think that's been the history of John Fox. And they've got the weapons to do it. On offense, they have the depth on the offensive line. I think eventually, ultimately, Will Montgomery starts as the starting center. He may not have it by the start of the season or by the end of the year. I think that's going to be Hieronis Grassou's job, is what's going to happen. But you know, they have the ability, and they have enough talent to do that. You know, defensively, what Tom was just talking about, I think Ego Ferguson and Eddie Goldman are the run stuffers. They'll be lining up as the zero techniques. I think the goal for Will Sutton, remember his last year in college, he got up to 321 and he got slow. So, you know, the ideal fit for him, he needs to be about 280 to 285. And his role, if he wants to capture it, and I know it's a tall order, he needs to be the Justin Smith of the Bears, just like Justin Smith was out there for the 49ers. Because when that guy plays at 285, that was his strength in college. The guy is unbelievable off the snap of the football in terms of penetration, wreaking havoc, being an all-day sucker, and just a speedster getting to the football. So if I were Will Sutton, I would drop weight, because I think that could be his role for the Chicago Bears.
Jim, good stuff. Tom, good stuff. We will visit with you again come Thursday, right before the Bears start rookie minicamp, with another edition of Bears All Access this Thursday coming up at 6 o'clock right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Sabin saying thanks for listening to a special edition of Bears All Access post-2015 NFL Draft on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows or download the podcast online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Subway, United, Verizon, and Xfinity.